This is December 7th, 1985, the first day of the Ukiah, California workshop. Good morning, Bartholomew.
So then, good morning. Let us be very clear what it is that we are seeking so that at the end of our time together we will understand whether we have met our own standard of understanding. You have come here today for one reason only, which is to learn, if you do not already know how, or to perfect, if you already have begun the process, of how to empower yourself at all times, in all places, under all circumstances, no outside fact withstanding. You are unhappy or weak in the world because you do not have at your fingertips the empowerment that is necessary to remind you of the strength of who you are so that you can move in the world empowered at all times. You do not need to expect the world to be in any way in order to empower you. That is your responsibility as the warriors that you are, to empower yourselves moment after moment, day after day, through all extremities, and that is what we are here for. In order to do that, you have to come close to your true self, your deep self, your inner nature, whatever you want to call it. Well, the closer you are to that, the more you realize the incredible power of how you are constantly in alignment with the power that you are seeking. When you become very simple about it, it becomes a very simple matter, and therefore it is reachable. If you become very complex about it, then it is very complicated, and then we have to be sitting in certain shrines and chanting certain tones and have certain incenses in our face, and then we can find it. Not true. The vast majority of this world does not have the capability or the lifestyle potential to put themselves in isolation in order to seek the true self. Therefore, we have to realize that although that is a viable way for many, it is not the way for all. And those of you who are not in such institutions have a right to touch the true self without having to worry about the extraneous outside of the understanding. Are we clear on this?
Yes.
Empowerment is simple. It comes from the knowledge of who and what you really are, with all of the extraneous material cut aside. It is very simple. When the mind first grasps it through speech, then the being can grasp it through experience, and you are here to experience. You are not here to hear words. If we share nothing but words in these days, you have wasted your time, and so have I. Which is interesting, since there is no such thing. Please, a little levity. But the truth of our experience has to rest in the body itself. It cannot rest in some idea of a God or of a heaven removed from this moment. It is not usable. And usability is what the path is always about. Without that, you are only grasping for hopes and hoping to die, to come into the new life, or however you want to talk. Oh, maybe next week God will dance in my living room, and maybe if I become a real vegetarian and quit eating that little bit of chicken on the side, then I will be seeing God. You know, all of these things are extraneous outside of you. And that's not what you need to make your life the thing that you know it can be. So we'll begin very simply, and we will end very simply. Most of you, because of the very active lives you lead, and that is not a negative statement, the active lives that you lead, spend a lot of your time, if you could see yourself psychically, you're out of your body. You are out here somewhere. And rarely, except through things like a sexual experience, the one reason you all like sex so much is quite different from what your mind tells you. You like it because it pulls you into your body, and that act itself feels good, regardless of what else is going on. Now, when you get the sense that you are a little bit out because you don't feel that you're filled all the way through, the simplest kind of thing to do is what we are going to practice this morning. You have been carrying around in your world the symbol of the balanced cross for centuries. Long before the advent of Christianity, the symbol of the balanced cross has been observed as one of the most strengthening symbols that the world has to offer. Its explanation is very simple. You have at your constant disposal two pillars of energy. The vertical one is the one that we have just worked on, and it is the one most forgotten and least paid attention to, because the other one, the horizontal one, is the one that connects you with all of the manifest world. It connects you with other people's egos. It connects you with the world, with the material plane, with the emotional field, with the mentalization of life. All of that is connected through the horizontal. And this horizontal is what is constantly before your eyes. Everywhere you look, it is there. It feeds you. It's constantly feeding you. Therefore, through the centuries and lifetimes, the forgetfulness has taken place of the vertical. So you have a very weakened balance within you. When I talk to you about mastery, the thing that is going to be the quickest to help you in your mastery is to begin to practice. Now, understand the basic law after which everything arises. Energy follows thought. Put another way, energy follows visualization. Put another way, power follows what you visualize. If you have paid any attention to what goes on in your minds, for example, out in the Mesa on Taos, it is a requirement to do 6 hours of writing nonstop on the garbage and the beauty that goes on in your consciousness. 6 hours of nonstop writing, pad upon pad, makes you very aware of why your life is the way it is. Because you visualize those things constantly and they manifest out in your world. The biggest truth is to find out what's going on in your mind. When you're weakened after 6 hours, you know, you're finally, the defenses are down and you just start writing and it becomes very clear. And in that clarity, you say, I now have proof in my own being of the reality that I manifest my world. You see, most of you hope to believe that and then are terrified to believe it because you have so many negative thoughts that you're afraid that you're going to, you know, kill people with a single glance and all of this, which is absolute nonsense because other people have their own power working for them. So that is not an issue. But most of you do not really grasp the truth that you create your reality. Now, when you do this exercise hour after hour and then you compare it clearly to the kind of life that you are manifesting, everything falls into place. And you say, I get it. I understand. I truly understand. Those of you who talk about transformation and really mean it, I ask you to put yourselves under this discipline for 6 steady hours of writing without any break except a few obvious ones. Now, out of that, you will come to the realization that if you have created that life that way, that you have the capability of creating it a different way. Now, weakness comes because you have just this horizontal pull, and it pulls you this way. Do you understand? The pull of the horizontal is this way, which makes you always feel like you're off center. Do you know, you don't ever, when you feel strong, you stand like this, and you feel the power in your being, and you are grounded, and you are plumb with the earth. Gravity, you feel strong, but when you're off center, you fall, and some of you fall forward and many of you fall back, but it's off of that sense of plumb. Now we're going to, the idea here is very simple. If you begin to creatively create the visual and thoughtful link with this other power, you will begin to manifest it hour after hour, day after day in your life. You are looking for a centering device. It is simple. The degree to which you want to be centered is the degree to which you will be. And that is the truth. The reason that you enjoy the other is feel this. There is a sense of motion. when you fall forward, is it not? And backwards, it's a sense, you see. And you are addicted to this sense of motion. But please, my friends, think about it. Do you want this kind of motion endlessly, which is what happens when the ego buffets you back and forth? The world loves you, you go forward. The world hates you, you pull back. He loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. I can have it, I can't have it. Back and forth, back and forth. Now, that's one model. There is another model, which is when you finally decide, I am ready, in other people's words, I am willing to feel the incredible power of my vertical groundedness all of the time. The power of that is so much stronger than this small, you see, there's very little motion back and forth, very little. You don't get a lot of motion in you this way. But you think this is life. I'm sorry to be critical, but this is what you call life. You call this living, this little bit of motion that goes back and forth. And sometimes you move a little bit further when you jog a lot and you feel better and you eat the right foods and you feel better. But eventually, eventually, you say, even that isn't enough. I want more. I want the vast sweeps. You know, when you talk about the vast sweeps of energy in you, you know what you're talking about. You sense it, the vast sweeps of power that move through you on occasion. Now, when you're looking for that, you're not going to get it with the horizontal, because you'll just fall right over. You just simply can't contain too much of that. So you have to begin to empower yourself in a totally new way. So, again, let us talk about the basic dilemma. The basic dilemma as is manifesting in your world today. You symbolize it by saying we have no roots. But the real dilemma is that you have been trained for centuries to ignore the roots. I'm not talking about your cultural roots. I'm talking the roots of your being. Because when you start talking about roots, we start talking about the dark places. We start talking about the mysterious, dark unknown. I'm not talking about God. You know, the God self has been presented very well. The light, the beauty, the wonder, the power, all of that is very well stated. But what is fearful and has been increasingly fearful for mankind is the roots. The ability to allow yourself to feel the deep, dark parts of who you are. These are the places where you ask questions and you don't get answers. You just have to live with the unknown. The most difficult thing for man today is to live with ease with the sense of the unknown. And that is what we have to learn in order to be strong at all times and master of the moment. You have to feel totally at ease with the unknown as it manifests. Look at your lives and see the incredible strivings that you take to make sure that things are the same, that they are rigid. No matter how miserable they are, at least they're rigid and you know them. Many people stay in relationships that are long dead, but they know them, so they don't strive to know and to encompass the feeling of, well, the unknown. I can't leave the known, no matter how bad, because I don't know about the unknown. Well, when you turn this around and start incorporating as part of the power of your life, the joy and the delight of learning how to live with a dance with the unknown, you become empowered. Because then whatever the unknown enters, you welcome it as your brother or your sister instead of keeping it outside the door. It's a total difference in perspective of what has to happen inside of you. Now, the roots are also those places they have to do deeply, deeply with the chaotic part of your nature. They have to do with the part of you that is unpredictable. It has to do with, in the tarot, what is the fool card that runs around, you know, pops out behind trees and shakes things and scares you and does what you don't want to do. There's that part of you that you have been sitting on for all these years because it is very, very unacceptable. It is unacceptable because it is not rational. And since it is not rational, then there is something really suspect about it, and everyone is in jeopardy and then needs to forget about the unrational. The difficulty is you will never feel the sense of your power until you feel deeply those roots. Now, and then the second phase. When you have gone as deeply as you can into the ground with those roots, you visualize the energy returning back up the root system, back through your body, and once again up and out through the structure at the top into the light. The reason for this, my friends, is simple. It is the way it is. You are conductors of energy. The energy comes hurling through to you from the vastness, enters you, grounds itself through you into the earth itself, which then turns, because the center core is of such power that nothing moves through it, it just refracts it off, and the energy then turns back around and goes back up through all of you again, once again out into the vastness. All of these wonderful pictures that you make of the figure eight, this is exactly what we're talking about. This is the process of the motion that comes in and through you down into the ground, cupping itself, bouncing off of that wonderful vortex in the center, curling back up again and going again through you and back up into the sweeps of the heavens. That is the meaning on the earth plane of that kind of symbol. And there in the center, where both meet, is the body of you. You are a conductor of this power. This is the major job that you have, which is to keep on receiving and grounding and receiving again and grounding out the energy. You will find, if any of you are ill, if any of you are restless, if any of you are depressed, if any of you are feeling anything like you want to experience more power, if you will just begin on a regular basis to do this exercise over and over and over again, as you're standing washing dishes, as you're seated in your car, as you're walking down the street, as you're seated in front of the television, whatever it is that you're doing, as you begin to integrate this very simple technique in your life as a physical reality, you will begin to feel the power, because the energy follows the thought. Those of you who have thoughts about wanting to end your life, do not believe for a minute that it depends on whether you are grounded or not. You will do yourself a favor to ground yourself continuously, so that when it does come to the ending time, you will have total power to do it the way you want to do it. You do not extend your life past its due time by this exercise. It does not, do you understand? It doesn't make you less likely to leave the planet. What it does is empower the physical, so that when you choose to go, you can go with the power the way you want it. So that you are the connection of the energies. It will not extend your tour of duty, but it will empower what is left. I recommend it. All right. If you don't know what to do, don't go to your mind. Go to your empowerment and sit with the energy, and at the end, you will arise and you will know, you will have a sense of, this I will do. The mind cannot answer the ambiguities. The energy must answer you. The energy carries the power. The energy carries the knowing. The mind is limited. Trust the energy. Trust your energy and empower yourself so that you are so connected you will not question. You will know when the urge comes, this is it, I will do it, and I will be the master and responsible for my choices. You will empower yourself. But you've got to send your mind and your thought patterns and your visions to help you. Otherwise, you're very, very slow. Do you see? It's slow. If you just wait for life, it's slow. You all know what's up there.
Let's begin.
Please remember when you break for lunch, each moment of the time spent between now and the moment we reconvene, your choices are clear. If you wish to change your life so that it becomes powerful, dynamic, creative, extending, delightful, then you will spend at least some of the time between now and then acknowledging your willingness and experiencing the coming in of the vertical energy that is always there. The horizontal ego energy is very compelling. But you have all learned in many ways that that energy, although satisfying at times, produces its polar opposite, which is dissatisfaction at times. That is the changing. What you're looking for the stability that you need to empower yourself, is the changelessness, the dependability, the unconditional wonder and power of the vertical power. You choose each moment. So choose with consciousness. You did not come here for the reason that you thought you did. And you didn't come because your mind told you it was a good idea. You would not be here unless your deep self had said to you clearly and strongly, go. You will leave and you might not know why you came. It does not matter. Please understand what is going on. This outward manifestation of all of this is simply an excuse to get all of these bodies together in one room to generate enough power between you and with what's coming in from what we have to offer in order to make some deep changes in the cellular energy levels of people. You only change the cellular energy when you put more power in and break up the consisting configurations that are repetitively taking you into the same places. So this is the outward reason. So don't worry about what's going on. If you're not having a good time, that's all right. If you are having a good time, that's all right. It doesn't matter. You'll go in and out of boredom. You'll go in and out of this and tired, this and so on. Let yourself do it. That's not the issue. Your ego and its manifestation is not why you're here. You're here because your body needs to be here. The body needs to be here because it is the thing that gets the energy. Otherwise, you know, you pick up books and it's intellectual. The mind gets stimulated, which then can stimulate the body in turn. But it's the body. You are tired. Why are you tired? You are pushing. Every time you get tired in a situation like this, if you were, you know, at a normal afternoon, this is not how you would feel. It is because it's being pushed. And when it pushes in, when the energy starts pushing, people get tired. Because it's almost over, too much. I want to rest. I want to sleep. Don't let it in. I want to be tired. Close it out. You know, now. That's in the general. In the specific, the aim of the deep self and the powers that got you here was simply to ask you to make a selection out of all of your very vast wisdom, and you have a lot of wisdom. Is there any particular, one particular focus that you find most compatible, that you would be willing to truly deepen and do more and more and more of in the next few coming months? Is there anything in your life like that? The funny thing about things that we're afraid of, such as loss of control, is because we haven't really given enough time to examining that part of ourselves to realize that it is a trustworthy part of ourselves. Let me explain. You say that you are afraid of lack of control. If we could put it in another way, we could say that you are afraid of spontaneity. We could say that you're afraid of letting loose. We could say that you're afraid of simply allowing things to happen. Do you see? Now, it isn't because it's something you're afraid of oftentimes. It's something that you haven't really looked at. So therefore, you have a certain amount of fear. Other people in this room are saying, well, I love spontaneousness. What I hate is control. You know, because, and that's stifling to me. And so they don't understand that control has a positive aspect to it. What I'm saying very clearly, please, is to get into and begin to examine minutely with your awareness what will happen to me if I don't control things. And I don't mean just some kind of superficial statement to somebody else. I mean an in-depth understanding of what happens, what is the fear. You see, there's a part of you that has misunderstood. There's a part of you that has taken this wonderful thing, which is spontaneous, open happening, and put some negative attributes on them. How it's going to feel, what you're going to lose, how scary it's going to be, all this kind of thing. Now, since you have learned this, you can unlearn it. And the way you unlearn it is by becoming very, very alive to the wonderful power in its opposite. Whenever you are afraid of anything, it is because you don't really have a connection with it. Because everything that you have a deep connection with, you can find a way to fit into your life. Pain, fear, loss, all of these are words out there. But when you have a relationship with them and you start getting close to them, then the energy between you and that starts moving back and forth, because everything is energy. So being spontaneous and just letting things happen can become frightening. But if you begin to pull that energy close to you by examining your fears about it, by examining what you think it's all about, by really getting very close to it, the minute that you turn your awareness to it, then the energy starts flowing back between the two of you. Do you understand? Between that energy and yourself. And it gets closer and closer and more familiar. And then all of a sudden you realize, I'm not so afraid. Those of you who are afraid of loss, for example, I think that's one of the number one fears, is to sit down with loss itself over and over again, get into it, unbraid its strands, and look at it as a whole. And as you do that, as you take it in your grip, you become very close to it. It becomes very real to you. Things that are away and hidden are frightening. Things that are in your living room, seated in front of you, you can handle. You can handle. When you start talking about control, other people have told you certain things. Other people, remember, project. I ask all of you in this room to remember, projection is the way human beings get rid of the things about themselves that they feel uncomfortable with. And they simply give them to other people. And they say, this doesn't feel very good. I will give it to you. Here, you take care of it. All right? Now, every one of you in this room carries a certain kind of projection. It is a wise person who figures out, oh, I see, as I move in the world, I carry this kind of projection for people. People like to hang this one on me. Do you understand? Now, once you hear this, once you really acknowledge deeply within you that this is what's happening, then, first of all, you realize you've lived through it, that you've been projected on, and there is life after projection. There you are, standing, standing alive. And in the midst of that, you can begin to unbraid it, carefully unbraid it, and just ask yourself, all right, now, how much of this is mine? How much of this is other people's? How much of this rings true in my being, and how much of it is just somebody else trying to make me change? You know, all of this goes on constantly. And when you have really come to the truth, this is mine. I feel this. I feel this to be mine. Through that whole process, you will find that it's nowhere near as difficult. It isn't something away from you. Susan, you have the power to bring any energy field close enough to your observation, to make love to it. And in the making love to it, it becomes your friend. The most hideous energy field in the world, brought close to you and made love to that. By that I mean allowing it to be intimate with you, pulling it very close to you, allowing yourself to dwell upon it, allow yourself to think about it, allowing yourself to go through it and to understand where you respond to it and how you relate to it. All of these wonderful ways. When it becomes your friend, it's no longer the difficulty. You have got to jump in. When I speak about the abyss, there are many abysses before the big one. And all of those smaller ones are these moments of jumping in to the parts of yourself that other people have projected on and find out. Find out. If you begin to study, what is control? What does it do? What's its opposite? What's its name? How does it feel? Who does it to me? How do I do it? Do I not? In in-depth study of it, in your own heart, you will understand. You go to anyone else, and you're going to get projection. The reason I ask you to be the masters of your own destiny is anyone outside of yourself, except a truly exalted, enlightened one wandering around, is likely to give you projections, therapists included. Therapists included. This is not to say that all these things are not very helpful, but in the last, when you have amassed all of this information, please go into yourself and unbraid the strand, moment after moment, and examine it. There's nothing to fear. You see, spontaneous openness is a delightful thing, and it means certain things. I have a very uncomfortable thing to say to you. Whatever is most uncomfortable is what you're going to end up doing next. You see, the warrior says, it doesn't feel good. I don't like this feeling that I don't understand control. I don't like it. It bothers me. Do you understand? Do you feel this? I don't like it. And it starts going underway, and you start working on it. And the warrior says, all right, I've amassed enough. Now I'm going to do it. So whatever starts to feel uncomfortable is the next step down the road. And if you can see it that way, and then start looking at its beautiful opposite. For everything negative, there's a beautiful opposite. Get in touch with the beautiful opposite and start playing with it, and you'll get a sense of where the balance is in it. Please be your own truth. Validate the integrity of your being by checking out all negative information in yourself. Do not accept it like a hat has to accept it. Like a hat rack has to accept hats thrown upon it. Have enough belief in yourself to question and to decide and to act on what is truly felt in you and to allow the rest to go by. When all is said and done, all of you are here because you feel a need to increase the feeling of your own power in your physical frame. You do not feel this power often because the blocks that are there have a tendency to squeak. And they squeak very loudly. So they squeak in your ear and in your consciousness and in your awareness. And since energy follows thought, when your thoughts are on that part of your process, which is the difficulty, you don't have a lot of free time to spend thinking about all of the bright and open spaces within your consciousness. So you walk around believing that you're a bundle of squeaking problems and have very little awareness of the amazing space and wonder and beauty of your being that's going on all the time. From the littlest, you have been trained, don't pay attention to your beauty, stay out of trouble. What do you say to your children? Stay out of trouble. Don't break that. Don't do that. No, no. And so the child forgets about the yes, yes, and just believes that they are an accumulated munch of no's, and just hopes and prays every night when it goes to bed, dear Lord, save me. Save me from getting in trouble tomorrow. So you, all the days of your life, you go around as adults, and the same process is going on. Save me from trouble. I don't want to be in trouble. Take care. Do you understand? So that's all fine. But the difficulty with that is this wonderful, golden, open, breathing part of your being isn't felt. Once you decide, I am willing to feel the power and wonder of my beautiful beingness, and I'm going to do it as much of the day as I can, and start breathing like that, and feeling like that, and imagining like that, and walking like that, and enlivening yourself like that, then energy follows thought, and you walk down that road. It's very simple. So this afternoon, with your kind help, would like us to experience in the physical body the energies. They are, you see, the wonderful thing is, My only contradiction with religion is it seems to tell you that somehow you are responsible for creating this wonderful energy that you're going to feel. Or rather, another way is that you have to be in a certain state of perfection and balance and harmony before you can feel it. And all of that is very well and good for people who want to be here a long, 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 long time. But those of you who say, I'm tired of that humbug, I know that there are feelings of power because I've had them, as few as they might be, but I've had them in my terrible, worm-like, imperfect state. I have felt it. And if I have done it once as a worm, I can do it again as a worm. And I do not have to become a butterfly because I am a worm and I felt it. And the logic takes over. You say, oh, I've got it. I finally have it. Now, when that explosion, and it's an explosion, takes place in your being, that you say, it's as if you give birth to yourself out of an egg, and you start kicking, you know, when you first decide to get self-realized, you're in an egg, and you wake up inside and you say, I really don't like this. This place is much too small. This is really a bore. I don't like it. And you start kicking. And you start kicking against the sides, and you start making cracks. And all kinds of things come and go. You change your life, you change your diet, you change your lovers, you change jobs, everything, bang, bang, bang. And this is all part of the process of kicking. And then finally, one day, you're seated in there and you realize it didn't work. How did I get in this shell in the first place? And it comes to you, oh my, I thought myself into this shell. Well, if I thought myself into this shell, I can think myself out. I don't have to kick and scream and bang and yell. I thought myself systematically into this shell. Now I can sit here and think myself out. You have thought yourselves, do you see, throughout the centuries, you've thought yourselves into limitation. How much more limited can you get than a tiny little worm in a shell? That's very limited. But when you begin to reverse the process, you can think yourself out. If the answer is yes, I am willing to love her, and that is something you are going to have to dwell on, because it's not an obvious answer for anyone, then every time an altercation, a bifurcation comes up, a difference of opinion, you go back to your original decision, which is, I've chosen to love her. And in that moment, my friend, you choose love over anything else. It is a conscious choice to say, I can, with all power and righteousness, and even good sense, say all of these things. And that means that my real aim is to have her lose weight. So my real aim is to have my sister not bother me. Do you understand? Now, when you come in on that other level and say, all right, I have decided to love, then in that moment, you choose love, which means you act and speak and expand in the loving way. Do you understand? No matter what. Otherwise, you aren't choosing love. The difficulty in relationship is you say, I choose love, but nobody chooses love. They choose, I want to win. I want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. You've got to stop doing this. You're too green. You have to be orange, you know, whatever it is. You know, and in truth, what happens in love affairs, and love affairs, this is a love affair between you and your mother. Love affairs is that's not the issue. The issue is only resolved deeply when you get down and say, all right, I choose love, because nothing else is going to work. You will be bifurcated with this woman because of her essential nature being so different from yours. You are two vast sweeps of energy and you miss. Do you understand? What you are vast energy fields moving through the vast wonders of space. That's what all of you are, all right? Now, some of you blend and merge and have a wondrous dance of it, and it's tremendously exciting, interesting. It holds your interest. Why do you think some of you have been friends for 25 years? Because the energy field blends and is pleasing. It is delightful. It's endlessly creative and interesting. You don't have to, you know, it just is. In another way of saying it is, rubbing your energies together is a pleasing sensation. With others, it is not. Because you miss. It is as if the sweeps come through here and the other sweeps come through there. And it can happen with your children, too. You do not always have to. Speaking to the lady in the chair now, you do not always have to love and adore all of your children to the end of your life. You have to do the best that you can, but sometimes they come in and their energy sweeps miss you, all right? There is no way to communicate. All right, now, since you cannot go and stand there and say, now look, God, I only will allow people with my energy into my life. Try that, and you'll just see, within 2 weeks, your house will be filled with people opposite.
Otherwise.
Yes. So, the only solution that I can see in your auric field is to again and again go back to that essential truth and say, all right, I choose love. The minute you say it, all right, love is important. I choose it. You will know what to say and what to not say. Do you understand? It's as if you just take your focus off of what you are now trying to get and put it back here. Now, the other thing is that when people have such varying sweeps of energy fields, they're not really comfortable around each other. I mean, the physical bodies are not comfortable around each other. Sometimes it can happen in a family that you give birth to a child that you don't feel comfortable around. That is, in my experience, the most difficult karma that has to be faced on this earth. It's when you and a child of yours, or a child and a parent, whichever position you are, has an energy field that doesn't touch. Because when you want to be nurtured, they're nurturing in a different way. When you want to be heard, they can't hear because they don't have your ears. When whatever it might be, they just miss. It's this dance of missing. And the lesson deeply embedded in all of this is, when you are now in the years of opening consciousness and choosing, all you need to do is to choose love, which undercuts it all. Because you see, love is where everything is bound up together. And every time it comes up, you just say, what's your name? Susan, get off it. And you will. Get off the point. Get off that line. Get off that energy band. Get off that determination. Get off that resentment. And the minute you say it to you and build up this backlog of willingness to choose the love every time, then the next step is easy. You see, it's the decision to get off that line that's hard, because that's where you're getting your colloquial, the juice of your life comes from that. This is why we started today with my asking you to consider empowering yourself vertically. because the juice of the horizontal is what we're talking about. That's what all that's about. Because, you know, rising up and being indignant and saying your truth and power, oh, we're in motion. But then when you're done, you go home and you're cold and you're dark and you missed it. And you don't know how to work it. So when you choose love consciously, then you get off of that band and down into the other one, and up well comes, and you know. And you leave with a deep, and this doesn't mean everything is going to be harmonious and the words are going to pour like, you know, liquid gold, no. But it means that in your heart, when you leave, you will feel in an expanded state. I'm concerned about your state, all right? Your state will be expansion, not contraction, because you have made that willing choice. Then you are expanded. Whatever they do, but you stay expanded. If it gets too hard, just pick yourself up and leave. That is always your choice. But you empower yourself moment by moment when you select love, and you confuse yourself and close down on yourself, even if it's expansion for a while, on the going home and the returning and the dwelling on it, you lose. And so in order to keep expanding, you have to keep going back. I pick love. All right. And pretty soon, it's just all right. And that's how you begin. You don't begin, oh, I pick love. I've seen these people like this, and I don't believe this. When you're talking like this, you're not looking at anybody. You're looking up there. And that's easy. It's easy to love up there, you know. But here, when you see, to choose love when you have good reason to choose other. Do you hear me? When you choose love when you've got good reason to choose other, you become the master. You say, I want to feel like that. And I don't want to feel like this. And I choose it. And in that moment, every event is for your use, for your expansion. Because in every case, you can choose. And in that choice, it all floods in. I believe this to be true, ladies and gentlemen, about every human relationship that you are in. From your deepest lovers to your most distant acquaintance to the casual person on the street. I believe you gain in mastery every moment when you choose this. It empowers you right there. And out of that empowerment comes compassion. And real compassion is an incredible experience. Real compassion. So it starts right there. Then life becomes exciting. Then we don't care who says what. Because we can say, right now, I choose. All right. I thank you. Then one has to ask, are we all just crazy, going around helter-skelter in chaos, picking people, only to be miserable and to separate? Or is it a deliberate attempt of the deep self to pull someone into your life in order to teach you the basics? Now, I will come in at a very high level. You don't have to meet me there, but I will come in there. It is an absolute truth, no matter how much this human race wants to confuse the subject, you are all one in love. No love affair needs to fail. No love affair needs to fail, because there is a solid ground of being that one can always fall to and drop into and experience the love of someone else. But it is also true that growth comes through different modes, changes, new selections. I think the most expansive thing for you to do about this, you see, your other question is about your spiritual growth, and they come right together. There is no separation between your relationship and your spiritual growth. They are absolutely one and the same. So if we would leave the relationship for a moment and slide over to the spiritual side, what we will see is a need within you to continually drop to the ground of your being, and as we discussed, to choose love, to choose acceptance. And there's another thing. Do you trust him? Do you consciously tell yourself that? To all of you in this room, whenever you are in a state of anxiety about the lover, what is at stake usually is a question of trust. You're not trusting them. Trusting them not to hurt you, trusting them not to leave you, trusting them not to deceive you. Do you understand? It's usually a question of trust, of not caring enough, whatever it might be. In those moments, if you can say to yourself, what is his name? Well, it doesn't matter. I choose to trust Tom. Absolutely. I choose trust and drop it. Do you understand? Now, the basic lesson is if you continue to drop into love, like we discussed, and you find yourself to be bored because the altercation, you see, many of you are together because the altercation is still going, you know? The war is still going on, the boxing gloves are still out, and you're really, you know, and in other words, you live for the drama. Many people live, the only drama they have going, they have boring jobs and this, so they go for these high-powered relationships where drama is always percolating around the next corner and they're, stirring up the soup and so forth. And that's fine. But it doesn't give a lot of peace and it doesn't give a lot of relaxation to the psyche. So my advice to you is very, very simple. When you begin this practice of dropping and choosing love, no matter what comes up, you are going to find out if you are doing it, 500 times a day, it will tell you something. It might tell you that the energies are so different that they will continue to be difficult, and then you have to decide if that's what you want to be. Or it can also come in that you realize that when you do it just as a ritual and get into it deeply, that what has happened to you there's a whole other side to this. I cannot tell you what happens to the heart center when you start doing this. You know, you start activating the heart center to such an extent. If any of you are interested in activating your heart center, this is the fastest way to have it just warm and glowing and alive and radiant. And one of two things will happen, which means your vibrational frequency will increase tremendously. You understand, if you do these simple things, your vibrational frequency is going to start to hum. One of two things happens under those circumstances. Either he enjoys that and rises to meet it, meaning that he says, this is worth a commitment, I'm going to. You understand? Or he says, that's too frightening for me, and he drops out. But if you stay in this never-never land, my friend, you're constantly going to keep the shadow play going. So you can't lose either way. You see, the wonder of picking love is you can't lose. If they leave, so what? You've got your love inside of you. It's got nothing to do with him because it's you that picks, and I pick love, and of course you think it's out there, but it's in here. Do you understand? So you've got nothing to lose. You will have the love within you, out of which something will come quite different. Do you understand? But there's always the wonderful creative possibility is when people feel this love beginning to grow. Now, some people have, they're like magnets. People just feel drawn to them. And it's because they have this hearth of heart just glowing. And people relax in their presence and feel safe. If you can increase the love in your heart so that you just keep choosing that, then safety will be part of the process. And he will feel safe. And then the relaxation comes. And then all of the doubts which come out of fear are only coming out of fear. Then can quietly subside. I feel if you pick love, it's going to work out no matter which way you turn. And the wonder is, you'll just keep going and glowing. I mean, it will keep changing. All of those inner places that are dark and hiding in everyone just start to move away. They just change into something quite different. I really see it as the maximum solution. But when I say I pick love, it means every time you feel righteous, righteousness is the greatest obstacle to love. Because you rise up and you're righteous and you have all of your power, and righteousness is defeating to the other because they know that. Do you understand? They know that. When you have right on your side, they already know it. They're just defending themselves against what they know to be your truth. So when you just rest that and just say, oh, all right, I'll just pick love. Go and do. Do what you want. Be who you are. I'll just pick love. All of a sudden, a great deal of change comes in. It's self-empowering, and it changes your life. It provides a magnetic field. You know, they say love is irresistible. And in a deep sense, it truly is. It truly is. Because everyone feels safe. They know they can be who they are in the presence of that love. I told you I was coming in at a high level. There are other levels, but your friends can come at you on those levels. There are many psychological and social things that we could say, but I'm coming in there because that's where I'd like to meet you. And because I think you can meet it. Thank you, because, you know, if you keep trying at this and find that your heart can glow and really feel warm in the midst of all of that, whatever it might be, my friend, you'll never be vulnerable again. The only answer is a radiant heart. It always has been. Please understand the process of awakening. The process of awakening comes from the inside and is experienced as a tremendous amount of pressure in some weak spot in your life. All of you have strengths in certain areas, and it is as if the deep self ignores your strengths, tells you to not pay too much attention to your strengths, but to pay total attention to this weakened spot. And the ego would have it the other way. The ego would say, no, let's not worry about the weak spot. Let us just bask in the glory and wonder of our strength. But the enlightened part of you, the part that wants to move out through that opening and perceive things in a totally new way, without illusion, continues to push against this tiny little substance. Do you understand? Most of you have very organized, integrated, interesting, dynamic lives. And yet, in Mary Margaret's words, you sit around with your thumb in your mouth, sucking it. Now, why is this? It's because of this one weak spot that the ego keeps saying, don't look, and the deep self keeps saying, look at this. Now, why? Because the weak spot is the way out. The weak spot is the perforation. The weak spot is where you can push your energies deeply and open up to the seeingness. Now, what do I mean when I say working on the weak spot? Weakness, fear, are experienced in the body. They are experienced as reality. They seem to be very, very alive. The energy seems to stay with you. And when the world presents the mirror image of what's here as fear, the fear is felt as a definite feeling. You do not say, oh, I think I am afraid. I've never heard anyone say, oh, I really think I'm afraid. They say, I am afraid, and they know, and a part of their being starts to shake because they know, oh, fear. Now, why, since you are such great creators, have you created fear? Why? Please hear this. Where there is fear, there is power. Where there is fear, there is power. And at the moment of the fear that comes into the body, you stand empowered. You call it fear, you run from it. The answer is, do not run from it. It is power. At that moment, you are filled with power. Much more so than when you are in your nice vernacular, blissed out. Blissed out people have very little power. Have you noticed? They're just blissed out. And that's wonderful. That is a state of acceptance. That is a state of taking it in, of letting it come in. And there's nothing wrong with bliss. I have nothing against bliss. Sounds like a wonderful thing. But on the earth plane, the fact remains that the power comes when you are in terror. When fear is present, then you are able to make the change. When the fear is there, two choices arise. To fall inside into the fantasy patterns, my friends, pay attention to your fantasy patterns. 99% of the things that you fear never come to fruition. Never. But they go on endlessly, endlessly riding you, presenting altercations and possible desecration, and on it goes, and it is not real. When you stop the fantasy, in the moment of fear being present, you say, all right, you see, you have to join it like the warrior. You have to stand your ground and say, all right, I feel you. You see, instead of running, trying to hide, trying to do something other, what you say is, in the strength of your being, what you say is, in the strength of my being, I acknowledge your presence, and I welcome you, and that scares me, but I welcome you. If you would just say those words, you know, I know they sound trite, but they engage you, as we discussed yesterday, they engage you with this energy that has come to you. Why? To intimidate you, to empower you. Do you see? You have a choice of how you see everything that comes to you. And that wonderful sense of, all right, fear, I'm ready. I'm ready. Teach me. Remember yesterday, teach me. You are present. You are pushing me towards some opening. What do you say to me? You have a fear that your wife will leave you, your husband will leave you, that your child will die, that you'll lose your job, that you'll be penniless, that whatever it might be. All right. Stand that fear as if it is a real entity right in front of you and say, what would you teach me? Instead of deflecting with the fantasies that come up, understand it comes as a brother or a sister. It comes, the reason I say that is some energies are personified feminine and some masculine. So they come to you in different feeling tones, but they are alive and they are present. The moment of enjoining that power makes them real. It takes them out of the realm of, because you see, you're not really afraid of what you think you are. You're not afraid of loss. You're not afraid of death. You're not afraid of all of those things. What you are afraid of is an incredibly strong energy field that is coming at you. And it's coming at you, and it really is coming at you. And it gives you two choices, to go into your old patternings and your old beliefs and project them out on other people, which is, oh, I know the solution. If you would just stop doing that, I wouldn't be afraid. I see. So you go to the person, now, please don't do that anymore. The person says very many things. But in the end, it falls, because, you see, that's not what the energy is saying. The energy is saying, you have the choice in this moment in time-space to take this incredibly long-term energy field that has been following you along like your mentor ever since you were first created and bring it in to your home and sit with it. It is an incredibly empowering feeling to sit with fear and say, all right, talk to me. What would you say to me? And I know this sounds trite, but it's the only way. You know, in the old days, it was like this. You didn't have, you know, like now the gurus and the roshis and so forth. They did this in the nowadays. But in the old days, you did this. And you personified them for the moment as real. This is how you have all the fantasies that come down. The Tibetan Buddhists didn't really believe in all of those devils, my friends. They really did not. They were not so stupid as to really believe in the deep sense that they were like that. They knew they were their own personifications put out there so that they could talk to them. It's very hard to talk to yourself. So they put them out. It was a technique, and they put them out, and then they did their battle, and then when it was resolved, they would go on. This is still a viable option, but you see, you are of the age of the expert. And so none of you are experts. So you cannot create your own devils and so forth, because you have to go to another expert and say, show me my devils. Well, you know, that is what you're pretty much doing in your love affairs and in your relationships. You let other people show you your devils. Well, that's one way. But I suggest a much smoother way, which is allow them to come in on your own. If you could, and I do mean this, and you will not believe me, to just have a little devil time every day. To just acknowledge, all right, it's time, devils, get out here, let's look at you. You know, you've all had these dreams, have you not? When you're being chased and chased and chased by something, and suddenly you stand and you say, enough. And you turn around, and the devil turns out to be this incredibly beautiful Adonis, or this incredibly beautiful goddess. There it is. What does this mean? This is the stereotypical dream of the person who, on one level, says, I'm standing, and I will face it. And when it does, the essence dissolves, the reality is clear, the essence enters you, and now you know. Now, I am serious about devil time. Because it is the fastest way to really understand what it is that you're running from. I will tell you all this. As much as you will not believe me, you are running from God. You are running from God because you have been misled into believing that God is something that it is not. It has been personified as a judgmental, arrogant, superior beingness that you cannot escape. That it permeates all time and space, and it doesn't love you unless you meet its specification. And I want to tell you something. With no arrogance meant, I have totally experienced the essence of God, and that is not what it's all about. If I in body can do it, you can do it. There's no difference. And each time you take your devils and take them into your being, you are that much closer to trust. Because it's trust that you need. And you will become trusted when day after day you take them in and you survive. You see, you even have this God that exterminates you. You, I'm going to get you, but you that's next to you, I will allow to live. The images that have filtered down through the illusionary minds of men who had some wisdom and some illusion and have been taken as the only living truth have entrapped you and enmeshed you in disbelief of the incredible and total compassion. There is nothing out there but compassion. Nothing. It is out of that that you came. Does it not understand everything? Does it not welcome it back? It's not as the mind would tell you. When you embrace the devils, it comes to your consciousness somewhere along the way. My God, how arrogant. If I can embrace the dark, is it not possible? Why would I then say that this God would not? Do you understand? The mind gets it. My God, I'm embracing it. I find beauty and compassion in this part. Why would I stand so arrogant as to say that the God in me would not? You come to know that. The Christmas season is coming, and if I had a gift to bestow, if I could do it, I would bestow one day for each of you of seeing yourself as you really are. If you had that gift, Never again. Never again would you wonder about anything. So all I can do, since it is not possible to do that, is to mirror back for you in my words and, I hope, in my love for you. The remembrance that there is nothing that you can ever do, ever, to separate you from the total security, embrace, compassion, and oneness with the source from which you came. Thou art that, and you have never been anything else. So I want to talk about a word that will be hard for some of you. It's called the Comforter. That is a word that happens to truly mirror the reality. And so I delighted it, because many of your religious words do not. But this one does. The Comforter is an actual vortex of energy that when you call on it, it has the power to envelop you. It has been personified as the guardian angel because it happens to have a shape that could look like, if you were religiously oriented, like an angel with vast wings. The wings, of course, are not real wings. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but but they are where the energy floods in from the left, through you, and then out through the right. But seen straight on, you can see how they thought it was an angel, do you see? You can say, why doesn't the Comforter stay with us at all times? And my answer is, because you don't ask it to. You cannot say, all right, Comforter, comfort me now and forevermore, amen, and go about your business. And I'll tell you why. The energy of the Comforter, and I see things only in energy, connects up with yours every time you turn your awareness toward it. Every great teacher has said, the only thing that I need from you to connect with me is that you turn your mind to me, and I will be with you. That's all they've ever said, on this earth plane and out. That's all they've ever said. And it's true. So if you can learn to keep a part of your consciousness constantly turned toward that Comforter, then you will always be. You will still have to have your life's lessons. You're not going to be exalted and finished, amen, and sit there in your pious chair and finished. No. But you won't feel the same. You won't feel the same. You will feel the Comforter. You'll feel it. Those of you who don't believe, I give you a challenge. 1 year. You see, I like to trap you. 1 year of dedication to the feeling of the Comforter constantly. If it has not worked, you come to me and we will battle it out. But it is my absolute truth that this is available to you. anyone who wishes to make a deep inner connection with the inner guide. Now, in your case, you seem to put it out, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with personifying it outside. But yes, but it's inside, but you can put it anywhere you want. Is you have to start calling. The inner guide is very much like the inner lover, which is you have to call on them. You have to open yourself to the willingness to really join. People are afraid to join because they experienced in the human world that when they tried to join with human beings, they got hurt. So there is a deep reluctance in the human psyche to really join with anything. Do you understand? It's just, oh no, I know what happens. I join and then they decide they don't, you know, I have to have green hair instead of blue, and they don't love me, you know, I'm too this, I'm too that, and goodbye, and they go. All right, so all of those experiences are those devils that we talked about this morning. That is the devil. Now, the devil has to be met, especially when you want to reach the inner guide, because the devil of pain and loss is the one that stands between anyone and what you would call the inner guide. So, first, you have got to start just being, and I know this is disgusting to all of you, like the bleeding heart wandering around saying, I want you, I want you. All of the things that you don't want to do. You know, you're not supposed, I want you, I want you. Ramana Maharshi, day and night, wandering around. God, I know you're there. I know you're going to reveal yourself. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Ramakrishna, all of the greats. I know, I know, I know. But because you have been, especially women now, oh, we're not to ask. No, you don't say, I want you. You say, I can get along without you. So, yes, I see that. I see that. So, that's all well and good on the outer plane. I do it any way you wish. It's fine with me.
You're answering all my questions.
Of course. Well, that's my job. I've got a lot of people. I've got to get it done. So, what you will find, you know, seeking first this alliance within, and then outwardly all of the other, you see, the softening will come, the trusting outside. You know, you have, if you want one, a partner out there, but not until the softening and the connection comes inside, because you wouldn't allow it. It's not that they wouldn't want it, it's you simply wouldn't allow it. It's a part of you that just rises up and says, no, I won't. Go like this. Very, very. All right, now, you don't need to do that, because, but don't worry, but don't start out there.
No.
Start in here. Now, I mean this literally to say, to when you start melting within, and this is exactly what happens when you meet the inner guide, you start to melt within. You start by asking, calling, yelling, praying, weeping. You may go to bed at night weeping. You didn't reveal yourself. Where are you? And people can say, oh, this is the bhakti path, and I'm not really a bhakti, meaning of the heart. And the answer is, at the end, everybody has to melt somehow or other. The greatest enlightenment that comes through one center has to hit the heart. It just has to be there. And you are more oriented. Just let it start melting. And you have to start, and the best thing is to begin communication. Now, I mean that literally. I don't mean just walking around babbling. I mean sitting down and saying, I want to hear from you. And then just begin. Do whatever meditation you do, whatever grounding is appropriate for you, and then begin with a notebook. Not writing to the source, letting the source write back to you. It's that surface, you know, that surface that cuts the top, that doesn't have any thought to it. And it just begins talking to you. Now, when it begins to talk, you're not going to believe it. Because, you see, it happens that it's going to talk in very stereotypical things. It's going to start saying things like, my beloved, I love you. I will never be apart from you. I'm always with you. I enfold you in my power all the time. Oh, it's going to start talking like one of your soap operas. And you're going to, because that is the nature of the inner, do you understand? That's part of the union. And when the words start coming, you say, oh, I made this up. Oh, I see, this is, you, all of this. So you have to keep going and keep going and keep going. The more that you turn energy following thought, the more that you turn and ask, the more it will come to you. It will respond to you. Then the most important part for you is the dream state. When things come to people in dreams, they believe them much more readily than when they come to them in their beingness. Isn't that strange? But it's true. Because you have no control, you think, over the dream state, so therefore you believe it. You see? So, you're just going to have to work. And it means going to bed at night and having the notebook next to you and the pencil or whatever, and getting up and writing them down, writing, and encouraging the whole line of communication. And when you do this, it's going to start happening, and the dreams will start coming. And when it comes in the dream, and you see it in the dream, and you connect with it in the dream, which is very likely in your case, not an absolute, but it's likely, then you will know. You will know. You will absolutely know. As hard a case as Mary Margaret had it happen. And if it can happen to her, it can happen to you. In the dream state, coming, there, undeniable, you'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll believe it. Okay? One of the main things is to do those things that are believable for you. And those are the things I suggest to you. When this process begins to really happen and the melting begins, and you realize that you don't really need, you see, when someone says, I don't need you, everyone needs something. And when you have this within yourself, then you can say in a much more gentle way, I don't need you, but it would be delightful. And that's a whole other statement. I don't need you, and I don't not need you, it would be delightful. Shall we share? It's a total different inference. Because now the solidity is in here. Now the knowingness is in here. And my friends, I want to tell you, this can be a total reality. It can be a total reality of knowing the inner comforter, whatever you want to call it, the guides, whatever, so strongly that you truly can live from that point. The minute someone starts to say something to you that you find objectionable, instead of having to go into some kind of stance, you simply step back, you feel the protection, and you simply allow. How do you think people allow others to do what they want without being hurt? They step back into their protection, they allow the world to do, and they see them through the eyes of the protector, and they allow them. Because they are not needing their protection to come from them. I want to tell a lot of you in this room, those of you that find it relevant, hear me. Many of you have put your protectors in the world. Through your wives, through your husbands, through your children, through your money, through your job, through something, your intellect, your body, your looks, whatever. Those are not your protectors. Withdraw the projection that you can get any of that outside and pull it in. My friend, you can do this. You ask why you no longer have children. That's wonderful. I have no objection.
Oh, okay.
It is because it is time to know yourself, free of other people's, or it feels, free of other people's psyches. It is time to become alive to the beauty of your life as you would create it if it was only you that has a hand in it. And you will do exactly what you want. You have earned it. You have earned it. You have supported many people valiantly under very difficult circumstances, and I honor that. So pick up delightful rewards and enjoy yourself. Enjoy your deep self. Enjoy all parts of yourself. You have deserved. You can do this, but it has to be the most important thing in your life, or it won't happen. Why not?
You've given me my retirement.
Energy follows thought. Aren't you sick of hearing it? Energy follows thought. When you put your thought on the love that's in your heart, it will begin to stir. Something closed it down. We don't have to worry about that. It was a process. We don't have to worry about that. It's done. It's finished. What is true is this. The wonderful thing is you do not have to create the love in your heart. Everybody in this room, hear me. You do not create the love in your heart. It is there. How would you create love, my friends? How? What formula would you use? How would you go about it? What utensils? What would you put it in? What color would it be? What shape would it take? You can't possibly do it. Love is the basic commodity existent in your heart chakra. It is there. Energy follows thought. At least 20 minutes a day, I mean this with all the power that I have. Without that 20 minutes a day of serious just feeling your heart, no thoughts, don't please, please, no ideas, oh, I send love to this and love to that. I mean, that's then we're in our heads, and our heads are sending love, and you know what that's all about. It's a lot of words. But when you just sit there and allow the breath in and out to feel your heart once again, to feel your heart once again, that's all you have to do, is to feel it. Do you understand? You do not have to generate it. You do not have to do anything but to feel your heart once again. 20 minutes a day, and then, and I know for your schedule, very difficult, but at least once an hour, stop and drop and feel it. And feel it. And feel it. Breath. You're stopping. You drive one of these wonderful automotive devices. Stop. You're stopped. Go in. Feel it. Rise and fall and rise and fall and rise and fall. You put down this wonderful communication device. Rise and fall and rise and fall. You program your life so that you are feeling your heart. All you have to do is to feel it and you will start to cry. Energy follows thought. Boring. But easy. Do you understand? You have just forgotten. You have forgotten to remember. You have forgotten to feel it. You had so many years of silence where you could feel it. And now, and it's wonderful. You've come to learn that you can do it in the midst of all of this wonder. Wonderful. So let's do it. You do not have to create the love. You do not have to send it out. You do not have to generate it. You do not have to color it pink. You don't have to do anything to it. All you have to do is to get in there and feel your heart. And it will start flooding. I ask you to be serious about this. Without the 20 minutes a day, the rest will be very difficult. And as you go to sleep at night, that is the time when it is your own business. Just laying in bed. Rising and falling. Feeling. Feeling. Just feeling it. It'll start to get warm. It'll start to have motion. It'll start to move. Just like the flowers start to open. And you'll feel it. And you'll know. And you'll cry. And this time, it'll be because you've remembered to remember. There's nothing wrong with your heart. You've just been neglecting.